Joining me in the studio now is somewhat of a celebrity. She might not look at herself like that, but we certainly do here. And it's Lindsay Ulrich. Lindsay just completed the Pacific Crest Trail from the Oregon-California border to the Washington-Oregon border in record time. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing really good today.
So tell me about your background. Is running this something that's been in your life for quite a while?
It has. I've been running probably since I was 5, 6 years old. My classmates tease me now that I was the one always running around the field and the other ones chasing the boys. So it was kind of it's always been in my blood, and I just have always really enjoyed it.
So prior to doing this, I read that you had suffered a stroke.
I did, yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, that must have been a very horrifying experience.
It was, about almost 8 years ago. Happened the day after my birthday. And basically, I lost most function on my left side. And it left me pretty paralyzed as far as just basic life skills even. I couldn't remember how to do certain things. I couldn't even do basic math, count money. I didn't know what a quarter was compared to a dollar. So it was pretty life-changing. I mean, even just for my whole family. My kids were pretty little at the time. And that was just a whole nother hurdle to overcome as well. And my husband graciously stuck by my side and helped me get through it, and took a lot of many years to overcome that as far as just relearning life, basically. I had to relearn a lot of things. I still suffer memory loss from it, and my left side still doesn't work as well as my right, but as I say, I always look at it as I just got dealt a king instead of 4 aces, and got to just keep on living and setting goals to keep moving forward.
When this happened, was the running the trail already a goal in mind, or was that something that came afterwards?
Way afterwards. Basically, I got into ultra running about 2-3 years ago, and started kind of dabbling in that, and kind of got addicted to these long distances in a crazy way, and I've always wanted to do the Pacific Crest Trail since I was, probably a teenager. And with races being canceled and things not going, you know, life kind of got put on hold because of COVID. We decided, you know, why not do something outside the box and let's go ahead and attempt this, which in 2020 hindsight, my husband actually was thinking of something on a smaller scale as far as maybe skirting the sisters or doing a mountain climb somewhere. But I was like, no, let's just go ahead and do the Pacific Crest Trail.
And you had a bigger goal in mind.
I had a bigger goal in mind. So we went for it. I contacted my coach, which he jumped on board, I think unwillingly in some ways, just because we all know that it's really not a healthy thing to do to go that far in that many days, that short a time. So but he was amazing and jumped on board with me and planned it all out. And we got to training and only trained really for it for about 2 months. So that was very short term, because I was thinking, oh, we'll do it next year. We'll train for it and get ready for it in a bigger way, better way. But we figured that hopefully racing will resume next year. And that's really where my love is to race. And so we said, let's just do it this year and see what happens.
So the first day out there, you start at the California border.
Yeah.
What were your expectations at that point?
Well, we had 3 goals in mind when we started, and as the days progressed and we basically did 50 to 60 miles a day, and as the day progressed and sleep got to be less and less known, I slowed down significantly towards the middle of it, and through the McKenzie Pass area, which if anybody's been through there, it's just lava upon lava. And Pacific Crest Trail, unfortunately, goes through this whole lava field for 5 to probably 10 miles. And I really struggled through that. And
that's more like jumping from rock to rock at that point.
Yeah, it is really, I mean, you're going over rocks, I mean, that are you know, as big as your, bigger than your hands. And you're trying to just get your feet to move and go forward. With my left side not working as well as my right, it just is more of a struggle for me on technical terrain. So it took us really a long time to get through those sections. And that was kind of where things kind of started to slow down, because I was up for over 24 hours at that point by the time I got to our stopping point. And that was, so we agreed as a team that we would have me sleep for the remainder of the day, because I still had 5 miles left to go through McKenzie Pass area, and it was hot. And so we decided that we would just go ahead and let me sleep, and we'd start in the early evening.
Now, did you get that much sleep? I understand you didn't get a whole lot of sleep.
No, I did not. I had a few stops where I got four hours of sleep. Mostly, probably the longest I had was maybe 6 hours. And then after that, it got to be where, okay, we're going and you're just going to nap on the trail. And you're just going to take 10-minute naps, and then we're going to wake you up and we're going to get going again.
So a few minutes ago, you mentioned that you had three goals.
Yes.
You didn't really say what those were. I imagine finishing was one of them.
Yeah, finishing was one of them. Regardless of how many days it took, we were going to finish. And obviously, the goal was to go after Daniel Snyder's, the female overall goal. Well, that was because she was the first woman to ever actually attempt to do that. And that was kind of our first goal. And then our biggest goal was obviously trying to get the overall record. But that was a lofty goal, as we came to find out as we progressed through the trails. So,
but you did manage to hit the one record.
I did. Just by the skin of my teeth, probably an hour and a half.
Yeah,
just by an hour and a half. My last 19 miles could be known as the slowest known time, because I was not moving well by the last 19 miles. It took me a long time.
Do you feel like you would have done better had you had a little more time to train, or were you pretty much?
You know, I think so. I feel maybe that could have been. I think after doing this, we learned a lot as far as how we probably would have prepared better for it. But I think something like this, you really can't prepare fully for, because after day one, you can plan. I mean, we had it all planned out how we were going to do it. And then after day one, it got totally thrown out the window. You know, you just had to readjust and go on the fly and figure it out as we went. And I mean, I had people, my son, my brother-in-law, they were running in food from 5 to 10 miles, you know, because sometimes you couldn't reach the trail very easily. And so they'd be running in food to me to refuel me and then run back out to where I'm originally was supposed to finish, like that night or morning. And so it was just kind of, and with my coach rolling his RV, which was our main mainstay of like where all my food was, where I was going to sleep, he actually rolled it the first day out 15 miles into the run.
So you lost that vehicle.
Lost everything, yes.
Oh, man.
And so it was, thankfully he was okay, but right. the road to get out to the starting point is just a really rough road. And he pulled over for a car to get by, and the dirt gave, and it went. And so, I didn't know anything about this till like the last day. No one told me anything.
I was going to ask you if that discouraged you, but if you didn't know about it,
I knew nothing. All he said was it broke down, and I got the car, we got your stuff, we're good. And so
after it's all over, talking with them about that, did they share with you their concerns that were going on while you were running as far as?
You know, I'm slowly finding out more and more stuff as the weeks go on. My husband's been telling me more stuff that's been, because I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. I'm just out running and they're waiting for me. And so I'm finding out more and more as the weeks go on about what really was going on. And there really wasn't a lot of discouragement. The people I had with me are like family. And so they're really good about just figuring out problem solving on the fly. And the only thing that probably was really discouraging was the fact that I had everything super organized for them so they could just grab and go. Things like my clothes, my food. Well, after the RV got rolled, it kind of all got shoved and rolled around in the RV. So they lost all of that stuff. And so Like, I was asking for socks at one point, and they're, you know, this is before I even knew the RV got rolled. And they were like, well, we'll get at the next stop for you because we can't find them right now. And I remember thinking, well, that's weird, but I just didn't worry about it because I had to get going. But I think that was probably the hardest part because they basically had to go reshop and find more food that we'd lost. So
did you change shoes during this 9 days, or did you
stay
in the same pair?
So I had, as I ended up swelling up to the point where I went up 2 shoe sizes, and I probably could have gone up more, but after we got into like the last pair of shoes, which we still had another pair available if needed, but we decided like the last 100 to 150 miles that we just would keep the shoes on and we would not take them off in fear of that they would swell more and not be able to get them back on. And I already had my feet all taped up and they were full of blisters. And so they just like, we're just going to leave them and just going to get through it. And taking those off was was a smell quite probably something no one else wants to have to do. So,
what was the recovery process like? Getting back to normal.
Yeah. So I basically, my feet were pretty destroyed. And so I couldn't walk for probably about 2 or 3 days. I mean, like we stayed in a hotel the night we got done. And I had to have my husband carry me up to our room. I mean, I was like crawling hands and knees to get into the shower. Wow. It was pretty brutal. And it took me probably about a week before I really could walk. But I was like, even a 10-minute walk was like, I'd get done and I'd wanted to go take a nap and sleep for 2-3 hours afterwards. I was pretty tired. In fact, this week is probably the first week I'm actually starting to feel normal almost. So,
has this at all cured you from ultra running, or are you still?
No,
it's made it worse.
Yes,
has it really?
I mean, I have to say, I really wasn't interested in running for a couple weeks. Like, I'm like, I'm never running again. I'm done. Like, this is, yeah, I just don't want to do it. And then now I'm like, okay, I did that. Now I feel like these ultra running distances should feel a lot easier now that I've gone 452 miles. But I think I'm interested in getting back into it and definitely want to race next year if it opens up.
What are some of the extreme temperatures? Did it get into the 90s when you were running, or even hotter than that?
Yeah. So when we started, it happened to be, I think it was one of the hottest weeks in Oregon. And so we started down in Ashland area, south of that, and that day it was very, very warm. I mean, we went through some heat training because we knew we were going to be getting some heat, but it was just brutal. It was
so hot. Didn't prepare you enough for what it was.
Yeah,
really, really,
yeah. Like. That first day exhausted me so bad because of the heat, and I overheated too, and so that just was really a difficult time. But once we got out of there and up more towards the mountains in central Oregon area, the weather was great. It was, because we're about between 4,000 to 6,000 feet.
Was there a point when somebody in the crew said, I think you got a shot at Daniel's record? Or when did that happen?
I got up to Crater Lake by day 3. We were about 130 miles into the run at that point, I think. And I was well ahead of the record at the time. We were thinking, well, okay, we're going to be good. We're going to get through this. And then it just kind of deteriorated after that. And then once we got into the gorge area and knowing the time we were at and what we had left, and we knew we had to get to the bridge before 9 p.m. And so we pushed hard, and that's when like it was like we went 48 hours without sleep. I mean, just basically like lay down, Lindsay, 10-minute nap, we're up and you're rolling again. Like that was it. And so the last 48 hours was a rough stretch. I mean, because you're already exhausted in the first place.
So what other goals have you decided on wanting to meet or exceed in the ultra running aspect of it?
Earlier in the year, planned on running a race down in California called the Canyons. And those not familiar, there's a race called Western States. That's a 100-mile race, starts in Squaw Valley and finishes on the track in Placerville High School. And I originally, so they have a thing they set up called Golden Tickets. And because Western States is a lottery thing where you have to get your name drawn and thousands of people put in for this race because it's just one of the oldest known races, ultra races around. And so so our plan was originally to train for that and take a shot at a golden ticket to get into that. And so that's kind of where the goal is at for next year as far as that goes. But we'll see how the rest of the year goes and if things change and I want to do something else. I'm kind of addicted to this mountain stuff now. So
I have a friend of mine in Houston. His name's Kevin Klein. He's head of a thing called the Snowdrop Foundation, which helps raise money for kids with cancer. Okay. This last winter, he did the road to the Arctic Circle and to the North Pole.
Oh, wow.
Through Alaska. Would you ever think about doing something like that? He did it by himself with just a car following behind him. Wow. Have you ever thought about doing something? Because that's the other extreme temperature.
Yes, I don't like cold.
No?
I mean, the weather here is what I like. It's perfect. It's 65 degrees. I'm definitely not into the cold stuff. I'm too afraid I'll get cold and not be able to ever warm up again. But that's impressive that he did that.
So nothing like this again, because you're talking about 100-mile races.
This was extreme. And as everyone is just like, one and done, we're good. Like, we're never doing this again. And I think we could push it out to the 200-mile mark would be the limit probably now. Like, I don't think this was just kind of a one and done thing. It was just because the time happened to be perfect timing for it. And as far as everything being canceled and being able to pour all of our energy into that, because it was a lot of planning within just 2 months to plan that all out. It was a lot.
Unlike a competitive race where there's other people around you and you're trying to stay ahead of or trying to keep pace with, how did you stay motivated to get through each day?
Having my stroke, I really kind of was my jumping board into this ultra stuff, which I know some people listening probably going, that is absolutely insane. But I'm always somebody that wants to push the limits and see how far I can go and what my body will allow me to do. And so that was one of my biggest driving forces, was because I had my stroke. I wanted to see if I was capable of doing this. And obviously, I like to lead by example for my kids as well, and just to show them that hard things can be done. And it was kind of a thing that I was kind of wanting to give other people that have had strokes or brain injuries, some hope that, things can get better. They might not always be where you want them to be, but you can still set goals for your life and keep moving.
I think that's a great place to end it right there. Okay. I tell you what, I am thoroughly impressed. It's not something I would ever want to undertake, but I certainly understand. I mean, some people will have a stroke and that'll be the last thing they'll do in their lives because they don't have that energy. But you found a way to make that a motivating force. And I guess the young kids probably had something to do with wanting to see them, succeed and find their way. Lindsay Ulrich, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that, folks, is our September edition of Our Town. Tune in again next month for new folks and new topics here on Coast Radio.